Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Beverly Williams, the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, AAHBB, and she's our good friend and an original member, basically an original member of this show, not just of the Brain Trust, but as I said, more importantly, she's our good friend. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, and thank you.
Morning to you. Happy holidays.
Well, thank you, and same to you, and to the listening audience. I am just feeling very much in the holiday mood right now.
Yeah, I know. You're starting to get on my nerves, too, Beverly.
Beverly, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, I can tell that. Yeah, it's pretty starting to get annoying, too.
Yeah.
Bev, let's talk about a couple of year-end things with regard to home-based business owners. You know, a lot of times, you and I lapse into the presumption that being a home-based business owner is a struggle. And of course, we're always thinking about the people who are just starting out at their kitchen table and they're trying to get their business out of the ground, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I know myself. I think about them a lot when we talk and we yeah. focus some of the things that we say. And I can tell from the same things you say that you're that way too. And it's probably right that we do that, because there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people in that category. But there's another group of home-based business owners that we probably ought to focus on a little bit.
Those who might be making money.
Yeah, imagine that. The really successful ones, you know, they woke up and they said, wow, all this for me? and they actually might have a tax problem right now.
Well, they could. Not necessarily. Well, I guess it is a problem. They consider
it's
a problem.
It's a high-class problem.
That's right. And it's not necessarily for those who have been in business for a while. I can tell you a number of stories of people who, in their first year of business, did so well. They were making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, at the end of the year, it was in April of the following year, that their accountant said, you know, you made so much money last year, you should have spent some of this.
Right.
So this is the time of year that people that I talk to, I say, well, you know, if you're doing well enough that you are in the black, you might consider spending some of that money before the end of the year.
On capital items, on improvements to the business, reinvesting in the company. She's not talking about a mink coat, ladies. We're talking about upgrading your computer capability, or maybe, you know, a down payment on adding a room onto your house or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it is a busy time of year, both between the holidays and trying to finish up things during the year. But one of the things to think about is, what if you do have some income building up in your account, what is it that you could use that would help your business? Like I said, a lot of people will think about computers. Friends of mine that started a business just this year had old trucks. They're in the construction business.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they've decided to do with some of the money that they've earned this year is to invest in a new truck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it means ongoing payments, but if they buy it now and use that down payment, I mean, you need to talk to your accountant about how that all works out. But it may be something fairly major that you need
for
to purchase.
For a new vehicle, the first year accelerated write-off is $10,700 and I think $20 or something like that. But it's $10,700 something, and which is an accelerated. It's not extra depreciation. It's just accelerated. So you don't get to take that in the out years. But at least it accelerates it into this year and gives you more of a deduction. Mm-hmm. Which allows you to pay less tax, and as you said, if they make payments on it, then they don't have to come up with the,
all of it.
It actually becomes a cash flow positive situation.
Exactly.
But this only works if you got profits, though, Beverly.
That's right. That's right. Now, and showing a profit on paper doesn't always mean you have cash in the bank.
That's the thing.
Yes. But,
because Bev, you know, you're right. There's something called phantom income, folks, and is typically associated with a failed investment. But you know, Bev, if you've got taxes to pay and you don't have the cash, you've just reported you're in a phantom income situation, regardless mm-hmm. of whether it was a failed investment or not.
Right, exactly. It's one of the things that will help at this point, and we've talked about this before on the show, and that is having a working relationship with an accountant. We've talked about accountants and lawyers, and right now this is the time it's really important to have that working relationship with your accountant. Before the end of the year, being able to, hopefully you've known before this point, before a couple weeks before the end of the year, but having that working relationship with an accountant where you can pick up the phone and say, okay, I know that, you know, I've made some money, but I'm not sure quite how much I really have that I should be spending. I want to reduce my taxable income. What do you think I should do? Mm-hmm. Not everybody. Some people are able to sit down and do that for themselves, but most people are so busy just trying to keep their head above water, whether it's the amount of work or bringing in income or whatever, that they may not always be on top of that. And their accountant, who has to keep up with the tax laws, mm-hmm. who, well, hopefully if you've got this business relationship with them, will understand what your business is all about and what some of the things are that will most benefit you and reduce your taxable income. So,
well, and you know, Bev, the other thing is, I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are working from home who make a lot of money. They just
oh, yeah.
choose. They have a very successful, full-blown, you know, business. They just choose to operate it from home. And the thing is, Beverly, if you've got business income this year, you can direct expense up to $100,000 of capital items. In other words, if you've got that much income, you can shelter that. You can direct expense up to $100,000 of computers, of furniture, mm-hmm. equipment, or things, any kind of a capital item, any kind of a depreciable item.
Right.
You can direct expense it. It used to be $25,000, which pretty much covers a lot of small business owners, but now it's up to $100,000. And Beverly, that's that law that was passed back in June that gave us that provision, that increased direct expensing, is seen as one of the things that's helping to drive this economy, the expansion right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is a very important thing. We're going to take a quick break. Stand by. We'll be right back with our good friend Beverly Williams. We're talking about success tips for your home-based business. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Beverly Williams, founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and we're talking about your home-based business at the end of the year. Beverly, I got to come back to one more thing. I just got to land on this phantom okay. income thing for just a minute, and that is the... You know, I just see a home-based business owner or any kind of a small business owner out there. I've seen this happen before. All during the year, they think, wow, things are, you know, sales are great. I'm making some money. And, you know, I mean, they just really can't believe how well things are going. And they and being sort of maybe a little bit wet behind the ears with regard to being an owner, a business owner, a mm-hmm. business operator, they spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
They think, wow, this is great. This is better than being employed. And so they, you know, they buy this or they buy that. And all of a sudden, as you say, when the tally is totaled for their taxes at the end of the year, you know, their accountant says, you know what, you made $20,000 profit last year, so that's going to cost you $6,000 in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $20,000 profit or whatever, you know, whatever the number is, it's still a few thousand dollars.
Right.
And you don't have the money because you didn't put any aside and because you didn't plan for it and because you thought it belonged to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
happens the first year
mm-hmm.
that a small business of any size goes from being a company that doesn't know if it's going to make it or not to a company that starts actually, you know, being successful. In that first year, that's when they get upside down sometimes. And unfortunately, sometimes what happens is that's when they drop off the radar screen with the IRS sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the dangerous thing. So just be careful about that, folks. You gotta pay the piper, don't you, Beverly?
You do. And sometimes it's a matter of, one is ignorance, not knowing how to handle their books. Too many people, whether home-based or small business outside the home, do get into a business out of need or want without having the stability of the knowledge that they need to run a business. They do it by the seat of their pants, and they can be very successful, but successful only insofar as they're making money, which, by the way, is not always my definition of success.
Right.
You have to make money, but it's not always the crown and glory.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I tell people you need a working relationship with an accountant, they look at me like, wait a minute, that's dollars flying out the window. You know, I'm going to have to pay this person so much money.
It's an investment.
It is an investment in your business, and the knowledge that they have. I mean, I sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I'm the first one to say I'm not an accountant. And I don't know all the things that need to be done. I know about my business and what I have to do, but I've learned a lot of that the hard way, too. And in fact, a lot of my advice comes from my own unfortunate learning experiences of how important
Mine
it is
too.
To have these things. So.
I'm still making payments on some of the advice I give out on the show. It costs me so much, I'm still making payments. But, you know, I like what you say about the CPAs and get somebody, folks. I just think that you need to be working with a CPA because they're supposed to have the background, they're supposed to know about the tax laws, mm-hmm. and they know that they're the experts, and they're going to look at your business dispassionately.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get all worked up about it because that's not what they're supposed to do,
right.
And they're supposed to, you know, look at it in a way, they're supposed to look at it with a gaze that you can't give it
mm-hmm.
because you're so excited about it.
That's right.
And somebody needs to look at your business that way and look at your finances that way and just lay it on the table just like it is and help it. That doesn't mean that they're going to be rude or anything like that. It just means that they're going to tell you how it is. Every entrepreneur needs that, Beverly, because as you know, we are so passionate. We need somebody to look at our business dispassionately.
Well, and you have to have that passion. I mean, we've talked about that before, too, that the passion is so important to keeping your energy level up in the down times to keep yourself moving forward. But you have to be realistic, and sometimes you're just too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have somebody else who can look at it from a knowledge standpoint as well as a non-personal standpoint and tell you what it is you need to do, how to be successful money-wise in your business.
Beverly, another thing that we probably ought to do, we just got about a minute, and that's say that maybe if things are going well, and you're so that probably means that maybe you're entering into a contract or two, this might be a good time to talk to an attorney about, and your CPA, about incorporating.
Right.
If you haven't done that yet.
A lawyer is another one. I think your CPA is probably the number one. If you're only going to have a working relationship with one, I'd choose the CPA. But there are times when you need to be able to pick up a phone and call a lawyer and get some legal advice, too. And mm-hmm. and doing it out of the clear blue sky is going to cost you more in time and money. Having that working relationship will pay off in the long run.
Yeah, that's a good resolution, folks. But go ahead and start both of those early. Contact
mm-hmm.
those people right now. Because I'll tell you, right now is not a bad time to start talking to a CPA. If you wait till April the 1st, that's when you're not going to get their attention very much, or even March 1st sometimes.
Yeah, even if you wait until January 1st, you may not get them. They start gearing up.
They sure do.
Yeah, it's difficult. So,
Beverly, thank you for being here. As always, thank you for your time and for your information, and we hope you have a great holiday.
Well, thank you, and same to you.
Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back real soon. Quick break. I'll be right back with Pierce and Jane Howard. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.